Yeah, we come to this time of the year that we call Thanksgiving. And sometimes it's kind of, I think, weird that we just celebrate Thanksgiving one time a year. Because in all reality, in all things, we're supposed to give thanks all the time. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." You know, in the middle of President Lincoln's service to our nation, an elderly lady made an appointment to see him. And as she entered his office, he inquired, "How can I be of service to you, madam?" The lady answered, "Mr. President, I know that you are a very busy man, and I have not come to ask you for anything. I simply came to bring you this box of cookies." You know, there was a long silence. Tears overflowed the president's eyes as he began, "Madam, I am greatly moved by what you have done. I mean, for since I have become president, people have come into this office one after another asking for favors and demanding things from me. You are the first person who has ever entered these premises asking no favor but bringing a gift. I thank you from the bottom of my heart." You know, I think of how often I go to the Lord with petitions and requests, yet sometimes forget to enter his throne room with simply a gift of praise. You know, I don't thank him for what he has already done for me. You know, could we just show love and gratitude to our Heavenly Father at times? I mean, touching his heart. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 again says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give thanks to God, the Father, through him." And Ephesians 5:20 says, "Always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, in this life, we seem to get overwhelmed with things, with circumstances, with life. And when we are overwhelmed, we are tempted to give up. But give thanks. You know, in this life, we seem to be overmatched, thinking that we can't do it. And when we're overmatched, we are tempted to give in. But give thanks. You know, in this life, we think that we are overcome and have all kinds of problems and situations. See, when we are overcome, we are tempted to give out. But give thanks. See, don't give up in or out, but give thanks. First of all, overwhelmed, don't give up. Give thanks. Turn with me to John chapter 6, verses 5 through 11, if you have your Bible. John chapter 6, verses 5 through 11. But in this text it says, "When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?' He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. But Philip answered him, 'It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite.' Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. 'Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?' Jesus said, 'Have the people sit down.' There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish." Here, you know, the disciples were overwhelmed. They didn't know what they were going to do. I mean, they were frantic. How do we solve this problem? But yet, the victory came after Jesus gave thanks. Yeah, the victory came after Jesus gave thanks. You know, our lives, they get hectic. I mean, you know, all those dirty dishes on the kitchen counter. I mean, dirty dishes without end. I mean, don't be overwhelmed. Give thanks. I mean, thank God for those dirty dishes. They really have a tale to tell. I mean, with other folks, when other folks go hungry, we're eating very well. I mean, with a home and health and happiness, you know, we shouldn't fuss or complain. For by the stack of dishes, it's evidence that God's very good to us. You know, how often are our obstacles actually evidence of our blessings and reasons to give thanks? I mean, we have a job with its difficulties. How many are unemployed? I mean, we have a house needing repairs. How many have no home? We have kids who are ill. How many are childless? You know, we have a church having problems. How many with no church home? Overwhelmed? Don't give up. Give thanks. You know, second, overmatched. Don't give in, but give thanks. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 19. Now it says, when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and he said, take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, when overmatched, facing the cross, what did Christ do? He gave thanks. And I say overmatched, here is used to mean the underdog. I mean, Christ was a voluntary underdog. You know, when the odds are stacked against you, give thanks. You know, a thief once overmatched Matthew Henry, the great Bible scholar. A thief broke into the modest dwelling of Matthew Henry and he stole his purse. Now the busy, cheerful old gentleman, far from being downcast, turned to his diary and entered a cheerful observation. He said, let me be thankful, first, because he never robbed me before. Second, because although he took my purse, he didn't take my life. And third, because although he took all I possessed, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed. You see, even Paul tells us to be thankful. He tells us to be thankful and to give thanks. Not only does he tell us to be thankful, Paul practices what he preached. Remember the text that we read earlier, 1 Thessalonians 5:18? Paul tells us, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, do you have difficulty in expressing gratitude for people who don't deserve it? I mean, we need to follow the example of Paul towards the Corinthians. I mean, the devil had almost taken over the Corinthian church. I mean, no New Testament church had more problems. I mean, sexual, doctrinal, physical, spiritual. I mean, this was a bunch of people who had it bad. You name it, they had to deal with it. But despite all of this, Paul stated his letter to the Corinthians. He stated in 1 Corinthians 1:4, I thank my God always on your behalf. See, overwhelmed? Don't give up. Give thanks. Overmatched, don't give in, give thanks. And overcome, don't give out, give thanks. Turn with me to Acts 27. Acts chapter 27, verses 27 through 35. Now it says, on the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea when about midnight the sailors sensed they were approaching land. They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. Now, a short time later, they took soundings again and found it was 90 feet deep. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved." So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboats and let it drift away. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. "For the last 14 days," he said, "you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head." Now after he said this, he took some bread and he gave thanks to God in front of all of them. Then he broke it and began to eat. I mean, Paul was a prisoner on a sinking ship. He was a prisoner on a sinking ship, and he was giving thanks to God. He was giving thanks. I mean, he had a lot of troubles that could have impeded gratitude. I mean, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, turn there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 and following. It says, "Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this, but I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. But five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I mean, I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressures of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. Now in Damascus, the governor under King Artus had the city of the Damascenes guarded in order to arrest me, but I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through his hands." I mean, Paul has had it bad and hard, and the times almost captured, and God provided, God took care of him, but he believed and practiced what he wrote in Psalms or in Romans 8, 35 through 39. Listen to what he says. He says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." See, it's all in your perspective. On what do you focus? You know, I read of a man named Claude Power who lived with his six children in the suburbs of Philadelphia. Now, just before school was to start, all of his children were in need of new shoes. At the same time, the washing machine played out. The top of it all off, because of bad weather, his work had been reduced. He was able to manage the shoes, but finally ran an ad for a used washing machine. Now, he answered a call concerning a used washing machine and found that the home filled with all of the comforts anyone could ever want. Now, after arranging to pick up the old washer, the conversation got around to children. Now, Claude Powell, he commented on the challenge of raising six children and keeping them in shoes. Now, the woman of the home ran out of the room crying. The father explained that they had one child who had been paralyzed from birth, and he had never needed a pair of shoes. And Claude says, when I got home, I picked up the worn-out shoes, worn out from skipping rope, kicking rocks, jumping puddles, and went off to be by myself. Kneeling by my bed, gave thanks to God for the worn-out shoes in our house. You know, how many of your gripes in your life should be grounds for gratitude? See, give thanks to the Lord by the way you give, by the way you serve, by the way you work, pray, by the way you witness. You know, give thanks to the Lord by the way you live. Now, we've been talking about worship this past month, and that is why we come to this building once a week and we worship God. Worship is when we communicate to God our love and respect for who He is, our thanksgiving and devotion for what He has done to us, or for us. See, it means we attribute worth to Him, demonstrate the significance of Him, and communicate our love for Him by what we say and how we act. We are saying, thank you, God. And you know, we have lots to be thankful for. I mean, no matter if we feel like we've been overwhelmed or overcome, we give thanks. We don't give in. We don't give out. We give thanks because God is here for us. He provides. He will take care of our needs. But yet, He has gave us life and gave us life abundantly through Jesus Christ. And that is why we are supposed to be thankful in all circumstances, be thankful in everything, because we don't have nothing to lose because Christ is there for us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you right now for giving us life, for giving us opportunities to be able to give back to you the praise and thankfulness that you so deserve. Father, you know, sometimes in my life, I feel like I'm just overwhelmed. I feel like things are happening and not in the right way. But yet, Father, we see and can count how you have taken care of us. You know, as we sang to you earlier, count the many blessings. Father, we sometimes take it for granted and we don't give you that thanks. And we don't tell you thank you. And so, Father, right now, I am here to say thank you. Thank you for being the God that you are. Thank you for, first of all, giving me life, but thank you for the great sacrifice of Jesus so that I can have life for eternity. So, Father, I pray for everyone in this room today, Father, that they will take count of the many, many blessings that you have bestowed on us and on them. And we realize that that is why we come and worship you, is just to say thank you, give you praise and glory. And I thank you. And it's all because of Jesus. And it's in His name I pray. Amen.